Well, that's pretty much the most horrible thing I've ever seen. It was the only thing I could think to say as I stood over the body of one of Bill Morton's calves. Bill stood behind me, nodding his head in utter agreement. He snorted hard and spit into the field before hiking up his pants. Apparently, this was the third calf that he lost in several weeks.
Aliens!
His gruff voice hit my ears and didn't instantly register what he just said. Aliens? I repeated, looking away from the horrid state of the calf.
Yeah, you know, aliens.
His eyes were dead serious, so I avoided the smirk that was threatening to develop my face.
Saw a documentary about the kind of stuff they do to cows on YouTube. Nasty stuff.
I knelt next to the animal. The grass was soaked in blood that was already drying in the summer heat. I could see puncture marks dotted on its hide that seemed to go in a straight line. Blood matted the fur in little circles around his huge wound. The calf's head looked as if it had been ripped apart, and most of the brain was missing. Also gone was the calf's tongue and eyes. No, Bill, I'd guess more likely this is an animal attack. I looked over all the woods again and scratched my stubble.
No offense to your keen detective skills, Deputy, but what kind of animal does that?
He got down next to me and pointed to the torn apart skull. I can't say rightly, Bill. And truly, I couldn't. I figured that an animal attack was far more likely than an alien cattle mutilation, but I'd be damned if I couldn't tell at all from the state of the calf. I'd seen my share of coyote attacks, and even a few mountain lions. When you work as a sheriff's deputy in a ranch town, these calls are common. This didn't look like anything I'd ever seen before.
Of course you can't, Frank, because it's aliens, I'm telling you.
He got back up with a wheeze and wiped the sweat from his brow.
Government boys in the facility outside of town, ask them. Sure they all know about it.
The facility off the highway? I got up with him, shifting my gun belt and straightening my uniform as I did. So the Department of Agriculture, Bill, I don't think they know much about aliens.
I'm sure they don't. I don't know much about whiskey and Johnny Cash tunes.
He paused for a moment and snorted again.
Know a lot about those things.
I got it, I responded, and smirked, finally breaking through my face enough to elicit an annoyed reaction from old Bill. I decided to smooth things over with an offer. Look, we'll round up with Fish and Game to see if we can't get some people out here to help us hunt down your calf killer. In the meantime, how about I stop by after work and we beat the bushes ourselves? See if we can't solve this issue a bit sooner. Bill's eyes scanned the thicket before he nodded.
All right, Deputy. I'm telling you, I don't think we're going to find nothing unless we're looking in the skies.
He slipped his thumbs into his belt and looked up at the midday sky. I laughed to myself and clapped Bill on the shoulder. I was still taking it with a measure of calm. Back when I thought the worst it could be was some rogue wolf or a mountain lion. I didn't know at the time what we'd find stalking around the thicket and the trees. If I had, I may have just grabbed the gas can from my patrol vehicle and set the whole damn place ablaze. Bill thinks it's a what? Terry laughed and looked at me with eyes wide surprised. Terry was a fellow deputy and longtime friend. He offered to help me and Bill look for the predator that's been going after Bill's calves that wandered too close to the thicket. We loaded up my truck with a couple of lever-action 30-30 rifles and some extra ammo. Yeah, no bullshit. The guy thinks it's aliens. I took the turn onto the road that led to Bill's property. The Bill's fucking out there, man. Dude's a riot. Though I gotta say, the way you describe it, can't exactly tell you what we're looking for. I wish I could give you a better clue, but I'm just as stumped as you. The truck's headlights illuminated the front of Bill's ranch, and I slowed to a stop. The big cat would have drug it off. Coyotes would have ate its guts. Same with the wolf. Ain't no bears around here, and I'm pretty sure that they don't kill like that. He undid his seatbelt and shook his head like he was trying to jostle the answer loose. Shit. Maybe it is aliens. It's not fucking aliens, I chuckled back as I jumped out of the truck.
I don't be so sure, Deputy.
I heard Bill's gruff voice booming out of the darkness as he walked from the side of the house to greet us. He was wearing his hunting oranges and carrying a 12-gauge. A headlamp was strapped onto his balding head. His old retriever, Bootsy, was walking at his heels.
Even a damn cowpuncher like me is smart enough to understand there's stuff out there beyond my understanding.
Oh, that I'm sure, Terry pulled one of the 30-30s out of the back of the truck and threw it over his shoulder.
Universe is a big place, boys.
Bill looked up at the night sky, either ignoring or oblivious to Terry's joke.
No telling what's out there.
Well, Bill? I pulled the other 30-30 from the back of the truck and started loading it. Right now, I'm a bit more concerned with what's going on in that thicket than what's hiding amongst the stars.
Fair enough.
Bill did his trademark snort and then spat into the dirt. He switched on the headlamp and shouldered his shotgun.
Y'all ready?
Bootsy, clearly noticing his master was ready to go, ran up ahead towards the field and looked back at us. He did a quick run in a circle and as if to tell us to hurry the hell up. Let's go bag us, Terry paused and looked at both Bill and myself with a shrug. Fucking alien, I guess. Terry and I laughed. Bill grunted as we walked across the field towards the thicket Bootsy was leading us to. We walked the edge of the thicket, shining our flashlights while looking to see if we could catch signs of anything stalking around the underbrush. Bootsy ran back and forth sniffing at the edge of the bushes and occasionally stopping to piss and let whatever was inside know that they'd been there.
So, what did Fish and Game say?
Bill whispered to me as he dropped down with a huff and looked into an opening between the two tall bushes. They transferred me around a bunch. Oh, by the end, I'm not sure I was talking to someone at Fish and Game, when they finally got me talking to the person they wanted me talking to. He said they'd be sending someone out right away. I thought I saw something shift behind the brush and looked in further. My voice got even quieter, but I finished the thought. Decided it was still better to just come out and look around ourselves tonight. You know, the government. Right away. Could mean a few weeks.
No, I'm sure they'll send someone out sooner than that.
Bill got back to his feet and adjusted the lamp on his head.
Don't want to give us too much time poking around down here.
Yeah, I'm sure you're quite right, Bill. I laughed, again, and looked further up the thicket to see Terry standing extremely close to the thick bushes. At first I thought he was looking at something, but I noticed his flashlight was down by his side. Bootsy came sprinting up past me at blinding speed and ran towards Terry while barking his head off. I started running towards Terry as well, with Bill jogging his best shortly behind me. As Terry came closer into view, I could see the look in his face. His eyes were wide with terror, his lips were pulled back in an awful grimace. He looked as if he wanted nothing more than to scream, but for some reason, it was frozen in the back of his throat and choking him. His arms were at his side, one hand holding the flashlight, the other balled into a tight fist. The 30-30 was still slung over his shoulder, and the question as to why he hadn't pulled it flashed through my mind before I noticed exactly why. His arms were pinned to his side by something that my mind couldn't even start to process. At first, I thought they were giant leaves or branches. Their dark green color matched the surrounding thicket almost perfectly. There were two of them, at least 4 feet long, that wrapped around Terry's body in what looked like an uninvited embrace. What the fucking hell? I stopped dead in my tracks, startled as the thing wrapped around Terry suddenly squeezed tighter and an audible hiss filled the air. Don't get any closer! Terry shouted, his voice in utter panic. Bootsy barked around his feet now, and the hiss in the air got louder. Tears streaked his face as he tried to turn his head to look in my direction. Oh God, man, please, please get this dog away from me. It doesn't like the dog. Bootsy, heel! I heard Bill's voice behind me, somehow firm but shaky at the same time. He drew in a breath. Bootsy continued barking wildly at whatever had a hold of Terry. I realized what was holding Terry so firmly was massive, chitinous appendages like insect legs. I stood in utter shock, my eyes just barely making out the massive shape hiding in the darkness of the tall, thick shrubbery. The thing squeezed him tighter and I could see blood streaking down his arms. God, please fucking help me! Terry's voice was laced with such a horrible terror that it woke me from my trance. I raised my rifle to my shoulder and I tried to find an angle to take a shot where I wasn't going to risk putting a bullet in my friend. Bootsy, heal now! Bill shouted again, taking a step to the side of me, but not daring to get any closer to Terry. The hiss filled the air again, and Bill continued yelling for his dog. Terry screamed his head off, the thing in the bushes hissed and chittered. Through all this, I took aim at the shadow I could barely see, and I pulled the trigger. The sound of the gun echoed through the night sky like thunder. I had missed, the bullet striking nothing but branches and whizzing past the thing as it yanked Terry forward into the thicket. I could hear his screams as it dragged him along through the underbrush. The whole thing happened so goddamn fast, I didn't even notice Bootsy leaping through the hole made by Terry's body and giving chase. I gripped my rifle and followed closely behind the retriever. Bill followed as close as he was capable of. The branches scraped and cut at my skin as I ran. It was pulling Terry so quickly that even Bootsy was having trouble keeping up. "What in the name of Johnny's ghost is that thing?" Bill growled out from behind me, a wheeze both preceding and following his question. I didn't answer. I didn't know. I just ran and I listened to my friend scream. His screams were getting further from me, and I wondered how in the name of God it could move so damn fast. And then suddenly the scream stopped. And my heart jumped into my throat. Bootsy had vanished, somewhere in the darkness in front of me, and he was still barking at the thing that took Terry, but they echoed throughout the thicket, and I couldn't tell exactly where they were coming from. We'd run far enough in that trees were sprouting up from the ground around us, and it felt like I was in a maze and making myself increasingly lost with every second.
"We gotta get back, Frank. We gotta call someone," Bill shouted. "I'm telling you, that thing ain't no normal animal. It ain't from around here.
Will you shut the fuck up about your stupid goddamn alien bullshit?" I turned on my heel and screamed at him before turning my flashlight back towards the brush in front of me. Didn't see any signs of Terry or the thing that had taken him. Somewhere off in the distance, Bootsy's barking turned into a high-pitched, whimpering yelp, overlaid over the top of the horrible hissing sound that it made. And Bootsy went silent, too. I looked at Bill's face. His eyes filled with tears at what was likely the sound of his dog's last moments. The night had become deathly quiet in only a matter of seconds. The air was warm and still against my bleeding skin and my ears. Hunted for any sign of movement around us. "Bill," I whispered, reaching out to him slowly and putting my hand on his shoulder. "We need to go. We need to go now." Bill silently gripped his shotgun with white knuckles. When his eyes drifted up to me, he seemed a million miles away.
"Bill," he said a little louder and firmer. "Did you hear me, man? We gotta go."
There was more hissing, followed by what sounded like chirps, clicks from behind Bill, and I could see something rising out of the brush, wreathed in shadow. It stood at least 6 feet tall as it straightened up. Two huge insectoid claws protruded from the front of its body. They were bent forward at the halfway point, and the creature held them in front of it as if in prayer. "No fucking way," I thought to myself. As Bill turned on his heels at the presence he sensed behind him, his headlamp illuminated the massive green insect and brought it into full view. Its diamond-shaped head held two bulbous eyes that looked directly at us, and two antennae that had to measure at least 2 feet in length. Mandibles flicked up and down at the point of its jaw, making a clicking noise. It lowered the posture of its long body, and it rested its legs, bending to bring it closer to our level as it let out a horrible hiss. Bill shrieked and raised his 12-gauge to fire, but it... that I could now see was a massive mantis. Impossible as they might seem, lurched forward and dug the spines of its forelegs into him, causing his shot to go wild. I raised my gun, but by the time that it was leveled at the creature, it had already lowered its head to Bill and began digging its mandibles into his skull. Bill's screams were so loud that I could still hear them as I pulled the trigger on the 30-30 and fired. The bullet struck at the side of its face, and even in that low light, I saw one of its eyes explode. I half expected it to drop, but Bill's screams continued, and instead of falling, the mantis just squeezed Bill even tighter with its forelegs and drug him backwards away at surprising speed. I let out two more rounds before its thin body was hiding in the brush, and it was waving Bill around like a human shield. It was like the goddamn thing understood. It vanished into the darkness, and Bill's screams went silent shortly thereafter. That horrible chewing sound is still something I hear when I close my eyes, and in that moment, knowing that my friend had been eaten by these things, my mind shattered. I ran down the path we'd made on our way through the thicket as fast as my legs could move me. I didn't bother to look back. I didn't want to see what was following me. I could hear more clicks. I could see moving shadows all around me as I ran, and with every single branch that scraped me, I wondered if it was the claw of one of those fucking things getting ready to drag me off and devour me alive. You hear the hissing, but also the hum of engines and the sight of lights out in the field.
Overhead, I heard the thrumming of a helicopter passing over us. I burst through the thicket and into the previously empty field, now filled to the brim with black SUVs and men in hazmat suits, setting up lights. A man who looked like a park ranger came running up to me and screaming for another group behind him to hold their fire, and I was in complete shock. I didn't even notice the group of men leveling AR-15s in my direction. As soon as that man touched my arm, I blacked out. I woke up in a blindingly white room. I could hear the hustle of people running around outside as I surveyed my surroundings. I realized I was inside of a tent. I attempted to get up from the cot that I had been laid on, but a hand gently touched my shoulder. I heard a woman's voice. "Easy now. Take it easy." I blinked a few times trying to get my eyes adjusted to the light. A woman in a lab coat moved around in front of me as I got into the sitting position. I rubbed my face with my hands. "Where am I?" I dropped my hands and I looked at the woman, who was now leaning on a shaky folding table, laptops and paperwork scattered around it. She had a shock of red hair, pulled high and held in place by pencils. Her glasses sat low on her nose. She looked to a soldier that was positioned behind her and nodded, a gesture that he returned before stepping out of the tent. "Your name is Franklin Beaumont. You are..." She scanned a clipboard in her hand. "You are sheriff's deputy in this area." "Yeah," I answered quietly, looking around the room at machinery I didn't understand. "Who are you?"
"I'm Dr. McDonald. Karen McDonald. I'm Dr. Karen."
She extended a hand that was as awkward as her reply, and I reached out and I shook it.
"You're still on site. About 100 yards from where you collapsed."
She looked down at her clipboard again.
"Probably just shock. You've been through a terribly traumatic experience, Mr. Beaumont. Do you remember?"
It all flooded back. Terry, Bill, Bootsy, the mantis that had torn them apart. I fought back tears. I nearly bit a hole into my lip. Dr. Karen simply stared at me with inquisitive green eyes and scribbled something further on her clipboard. "Of course I remember," I finally said. "Those fucking things killed them."
"Wolves! Wolves, Mr. Beaumont."
A man in a blue suit walked into the room. His hair was slicked back and he wore a practiced smile.
"Not things. You've been through a major trauma. We just want to make sure that you're not misremembering things."
"I'm remembering just fine," I gruffly spoke to the man as he walked around to that same side of the folding table as Dr. Karen and two soldiers with AR-15 followed closely behind him. He stood in front of me with his arms crossed, waiting for me to continue.
"What I saw was not a fucking wolf." "Of course it was, Mr. Beaumont. What else would it have been?"
He looked at Dr. Karen. She shrugged. I saw instantly what was going on, and the two soldiers behind the man in the blue suit looked nervous. I don't know. I hung my head, suddenly very uncomfortable and scared. The mantis obviously had some connection to whoever these people were, and they were not playing around. Mr. Blue Suit and Dr. Karen were the handshake and the smile. The men behind them were a much tougher form of negotiation.
"We're deeply sorry about your friend. Know that we at the U.S. Department of Agriculture give you our word that we will take care of this pack of wolves and ensure that no one will ever be hurt by them again."
A man in the blue suit grabbed the binder off the table and held out his hand. "Department of Agriculture." I laughed into my hands. "You guys are from the fucking Department of Agriculture?" I laughed again and looked at the soldier with their guns and black night ops uniforms.
"Yes, Mr. Beaumont."
The blue suit man pushed the binder into my hand.
"Who else would we be?"
I spent the rest of the night signing papers, saying that my friends and I had tracked the wolves to the thicket where we'd been attacked. I was to decline any interviews on the subject. If pressed, I was to toe the line on the official story. I could still remember the plastic smile on the face of the man in the blue suit. He gave artificial condolences as they sent me on my way. Dr. Karen gave me genuine ones, but they rang hollow. That night I drank a fifth of bourbon alone in my apartment and I cried myself to sleep. See, there was never any direct threat against me that made me keep my mouth shut.
They made the cars that followed me and the men parked outside my home noticeable enough, they never needed to make any kind of direct threat. I could only imagine what government agency the blue suit man was actually from, but I know when there was a gun to my temple, and I doubted very seriously that the Department of Agriculture was holding it. That's why I'm sharing this story here. Leaving out the details, I can't keep it inside anymore, and if I go anywhere official, then I'm a dead man. So I know what I saw. I know what I saw out there, though, and I... It sure as hell wasn't wolves. Our government grew something. I don't know if it escaped, I don't know if they let it loose on their own, but they are most certainly responsible. I drove out towards Bill's old ranch sometimes, and I could see the lights of whatever makeshift area they still have set up out there. The whole thing is surrounded with a massive fence now. Signs hang on it. Every 30 feet, no trespassing, by order of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Bill didn't have any family, so it was easy for them to swoop in and take the place for themselves. Without some nosy relatives wondering what happened to him or why the government was stealing their land. I'll stand out by that fence sometimes and I'll smoke a cigarette. I'll listen. I'll listen to their trucks driving in and out. And that drive and the hustle of men doing whatever those men do out there now, and I'll hear that hiss. That awful hiss, but sometimes I wonder if that's just in my head. All I know for sure is that there were no wolves that night. There most certainly was something stalking the thicket on Bill Morton's old property. Something that isn't choosy about its prey.